Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Anabaptist Perspectives exclusive podcast. Today is an exciting episode because we have Bryant Martin here in the studio today. He's all the way down in Tennessee, which is great, swinging through. So we've been up to State College, Pennsylvania, a few times and interviewed you. And I think actually every time we've done it has been in Sower's Harvest Cafe, the cafe that you started there. Which is a really neat thing, by the way. If you're listening and you haven't checked out Sower's Harvest Cafe, definitely swing by if you're in the area. It's a great spot. But there's something you're doing with that work there. Obviously a Christ-centered business, but also this emphasis on hospitality. And we've done some episodes on this, particularly episodes 116 and 117. If you check out our main channel, you can go back and find those, and we'll have links to them in the description as well. We got some questions on that with from some listeners on this concept of hospitality and how do we use it as a witness. And so I'm going to just read a question that was submitted, and then you can answer it as you like, and we'll kind of go from there. So this is from, I believe it's Sean Tanner. I don't know if that's a real name. That's their YouTube handle. Said this: I realize that the relationship is essential, and a gospel without a relationship is futile. But on the other hand, having a relationship without bringing up the gospel is futile too. I can see my own faults of pushing tracks without trying to get to know people. But on the other hand, I know people who only pursue a relationship and never spoke of Christ. So my question is this: I understand that the gospel will be a relationship breaker, not on the Christian side, but on the one he is having a relationship with. How do you reconcile the two? Is that simply the price you have to pay? For example, a relationship cultivated is worth breaking for the sake of the gospel. I hope that makes sense. God bless.
Yeah, well, Sean, if you're listening to this, thank you for the question. You know, what you're touching on, pushing on here is really every Christian's struggle. Because especially every Christian who really sees Jesus as the example of how to do evangelism or advance the kingdom. And then, of course, you know, obviously this question is coming out of a hospitality talk, you know, where I unpack this idea of what hospitality is. And I don't think I should get into this, but, you know, hospitality, the Greek word really there in Scripture is philia xenoth, which is love, brotherly love of stranger. Of course, in the opposite of philia xenoth is xenophobia, which is a term that, you know, those of us who are kind of connected culturally in this cultural moment in the U.S. is in the last number of years, we've heard this thrown around, particularly from the left to the right, saying you right wing Christians, Jesus was a philia xenoth person, but you're a xenophobia person, which is really, really sad. But I mean, it's not always a fair critique. However, you know, when you take up right wing politics or nationalism, that is very xenophobic, because it's all about you, and you're totally against a stranger. And we know that is not God's way of working with people. Okay, God Himself is an incredible host. He Himself has expressed incredible hospitality. You know, while you were yet in sin, Christ died for us. We see Jesus, you know, interacting so graciously and kindly with strangers and with those, particularly on the outside, with those you should be fearful of. For example, the woman at the well. And there's just many other examples. And so Jesus Himself, so not only God creating this incredible place to host us in the garden, right? And then up through the millenniums, we see Him teaching the children of Israel to really take care of those on the outside. Those outsiders include the men. I mean, they were expected to take care of the immigrant, the stranger in the land. Of course, Abraham was a beautiful example of that. Many people up through, and then coming into the New Testament with Jesus and the early church, really the argument can be made that hospitality, philia xenoth, is at the heart of the gospel. And so I would contend that hospitality, you know, philia xenoth, is really obedience. We're called to be obedient. It's obedience. It's really, really, if we're not loving the stranger, are we a Christian? Or will we continue to be a Christian or God's child in God's eyes? I believe deeply that it's at the heart of the gospel. And again, we, like I said, there's just many places we can go into Scripture, even the New Testament, where, for example, you go into Timothy, there, 1 Timothy, on the qualification for an elder. And then right there it is, hospitable. And we see how the early church and historians looking at the early church and how it advanced. And it's evident that hospitality was at the center of the movement of the early Jesus communities. Like, not only amongst themselves, like one person said, I don't have a house, but I have many homes. So not only within those Jesus communities, but also going out. And people observed it. The pagans observed how they took care of the strangers and loved those who were homeless and loved those who were strangers and loved those who were in prison. And that's how, in many ways, the testimony spread. So maybe a little bunny trail there. Coming back to this question, so first of all, it's just an act of obedience, I believe. And then finally, and then maybe another aspect too, is Henry Nouwen said this: hospitality is not to change people, but to offer them a space where change can take place. To me, if we can't answer questions that people aren't answering, right? So when, you know, a teacher knows that it's not the answer that enlightens, it's the question. And so when people ask us that question, and maybe we ask them a question back, you know, when that question comes to us, it shows an open heart, an interested, a curious person, and that gives us that opportunity. And so to me, hospitality, kind of in the big, broad sense of the word, is creating that welcoming space where when people are ready, they can ask you that question, and then we can be obedient and do what 1 Peter 3:15 says. But in your heart, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who, what? Asks. Ask you for a reason for the hope that is within you. And then how should you do that? How should you respond? Do it with gentleness and respect, or with meekness and fear. And so hospitality is welcoming people into our space and giving them that opportunity to see us, watch us, and get to know us. And like, you know what? Reagan is somebody I can trust. He's a good man. I've watched his life. And, you know, early church said, we don't speak great things. We do great things. And that's a quote from an early church father. And so as they see us doing these, quote, great things, they're like, wow, I want to know more. I want more of that. And to me, that's what inspires me to show up again and show that filial zeal, whether it's at our cafe there at Sowers, which to me is a space that we're trying to nurture that love of stranger, trying to create that space that is welcoming, that is peaceful, that disarms people. You know, we have every worldview coming through that door, you know, and so to take care of that person with dignity, with respect, with kindness, with excellence, and say, come back again. And before long, you realize that, you know, I know this guy's name and this guy knows me. You know, we start talking and now we're having coffee together, or he's coming into our home. You know, I think of a man who was very withdrawn, who started showing up at our cafe and began to come regularly. And now he was incredibly, you could just tell that, you know, there was a certain narrative that he was trying to push with his life. You know, just looked very much in opposition to who I am, you know, as a Christ follower. But today he's become a good friend, been into our home now a couple of times at other people's homes in our church. And, you know, we have this friendship. And so, yeah. So the question is now, watch and wait, pray for that opportunity to really dig in with the gospel. And it might mean at a time more in a prophetic way, or it might mean just waiting. You need to discern the spirit. But yeah, there is a ditch though, as this brother maybe is pointing out, of this friendship evangelism where you never get to show Christ. And so what happens is, yeah, that's, you know, I don't think there's any way to get around that fear or that possibility, but we need to keep coming back to the why of why I exist and saying, no, I don't want to compromise here. I really want to see this gentleman being a follower of Jesus. Boy, wouldn't that be amazing? Actually dreaming of what could be and praying for him regularly and watching for those opportunities. And then when they come, to dig in and to say, and to actually know that he might disagree with you, but you actually have a friendship. Like, I have an atheist friend that we connect regularly, and he and I totally disagree, but I share, you know, what I believe, and he shares what he believes, and you know, we have this under, you know, we choose to disagree. But my prayer is that as God pursues him, and he's, you know, using my feeble efforts and the efforts for CAFE, that through these things, that he will get to see Jesus in his kingdom and get wooed into it. But yeah, you know, sometimes I wonder, like, maybe I should be more upfront. Maybe I should be more bold here. How do I respond? I'm always praying, Lord, give me wisdom how to respond here. And so, but yeah, it's, you know, it's a challenge for any one of us to compromise or to just be quiet. You know, we do need to speak. You know, we do need to speak, but we need to do it with gentleness and respect. And I think that it means relationship, which to me is so important in these interactions.
So I have a feeling there are going to be some people out there that critique that and say, well, you know, that's, you're not supposed to be ashamed of the gospel. Like, you need to be upfront and clear and tell people the truth. And if you really cared about them, you would tell them the truth. And yeah, you would try to be their friend, but like, it's way more important that you tell it to them straight. You know, what do you do with that kind of critique? Because they would say, well, you're being a poor witness by not telling this person right away, you know, and convincing them or trying to convince them of Christianity. And maybe I'm overstating it a bit, but I don't know. I've definitely run into that where they're just like, oh, your friendship evangelism isn't friendship, because if you were a real friend, you would tell them the truth. And I'm pretty sure, I mean, that's not really what you're advocating here, but how do you disarm a critique like that?
Yeah, well, there is times for boldness, and maybe God calls some people to, you know, to stand, you know, to do an Acts 17. But when you look at Acts 17 and Paul's engaging there with those pagans, he has some relationships already, some connections, some background with them in the marketplace. He gets invited to come speak, right? And then also of course he ties in, you know, some of their worldview, and there's some really interesting things that are happening. But Paul's obviously a very bold person, and so God does call for sometimes to stand up on the stump, as it were, and preach a message. But I do believe, though, that, you know, as I look at the life of Christ and his relationship, especially with outsiders, there was more questions there. There was, you know, times there were meals around meals, you know, Matthew kind of come to your house for supper to dine, and that happens. So there's this relationship over food and some of those common things that can kind of really break down our differences, you know, over meals. It's a leveling plane for humanity, right? As we sit and eat together. And I do believe too, in our world, there's so many misconceptions of Christianity, and there is already so many angry voices. And I'm not interested in being that angry voice. Now, sometimes we might be classified as an angry voice when we're not. We need to be okay with that. It's part of the gospel, the truth, you know, to share it with grace and with truth, right? And Jesus was that combination of that. And so how can we be a combination of that? And I think that we need to, our first way of evangelism is through relationship, getting to know that person, listening to them, hearing their story. And that's done through relationship and with time. You know, we like to, you know, stand up and preach to 1,000 people. Well, guess what? That's not typically how the kingdom moves forward. It's that one-on-one. It's those one-on-one relationships where that happens, where we can really speak truth to that person. But we need that. We need that bridge. We need that connection. And so, yeah, I think that, yeah, this grace and truth idea, and then also understanding how to merge those, I think we need more discussion around the merging of grace and truth and what that looks like, and examples to the people living it out.
That, I think that's actually a pretty critical piece, examples of people that have done this and actually seen it unfold. I'm sensing that a little bit from this question of this person being like, I agree, I think I see what you're saying, I think I agree, but like, how does this work actually? You know, and if they could see that, I think that'd be really, really important So this is really helpful. This is some good context here. So if people want to learn more about this, of course, they can watch the other episodes that we've done with you, and we'll make sure and link those. But would you have other resources you would recommend, maybe some books or other talks on this topic?
Yeah, there's, of course, Rosaria Butterfield, I talk about a good bit. Her book, The Gospel Comes with a House Key. Also, her first book that she wrote called The Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert is really a compelling book as well, as she is more of the kind of her raw journey from a lesbian, you know, to a Christ follower. Powerful book. So, you know, that would be another resource. There's a book I recently picked up called Radical Hospitality, The Benedict Option, I think it was called. I've heard this is a good book. I haven't read much in that book yet. Yeah, that's all I can think of off the top of my head.
That's a really good list to start with. I read The Gospel Comes with a House Key. That's some powerful stuff. That's profound. And I've seen how this has worked, and in my own life too, that radical hospitality that others have shown me, and what an influence that can be. So I am definitely seeing what you're talking about. That impact that really only comes from if you build those deep kind of relationships, because there's something really special about when you open your home to someone that communicates something pretty significant to that person, where they're like, oh, it's not just every day that someone says, here's my home, come into it. That there's something really respectful and almost vulnerable for the host to do that, to allow. And people pick up on that, you know.
And really, you know, maybe some wrap-up thoughts I would have here. So first is obedience to God, okay, that we do these things. And then, and being his children, right, doing his ways, bringing heaven to earth, all right? But as we do that, we actually ourselves grow because we open our hearts and allow people in. And there's pain, there's rejection, there's just having to serve, which is, it can be very difficult, but it's part of taking up a cross, right? It's part of dying so we can live. So there's this upside down reality that happens. There's one quote that says, hardly anything is more characteristic of Christian love than hospitality. Through the ministry of hospitality, we share the lives we value. I'm sorry, we share the things we value most. Home, financial resources, food, privacy, and time. In other words, we share our lives, end quote. Not sure who quoted that or who said that, but absolutely. So there's this upside down. So it's the best thing, you know, is the way we can advance the kingdom and plant seeds, right, of truth. But really in doing this, we're actually changing ourselves and transforming ourselves. And so the challenge I would have is for the listeners here is, you know, are we going to be a cul-de-sac or a conduit? If we cul-de-sac, we will dry up and die loving our selfish selves. But if we conduit, we will be filled with the water of life and become a stream of living water to those around us. And so that's the challenge I'll leave with the listeners here and myself today, is how are we going to cul-de-sac or conduit? It really is a matter of death or life. And also want to bless you, Reagan, too, for your hospitality and hosting our family, our seven ambitious children here in this house. And we've had a really good time this weekend. And also want to bless you, your work here with Anabaptist Perspectives. So keep doing it. It's impacting many people. God bless you all.
Yeah, thank you for that, Brian. It's one of those things where we've been given so much and we want to give it back, you know. And so having people like you in our home, welcome anytime. So yeah, we really enjoy that. And I will say, though, I feel like I've learned a lot about hospitality from you and people like you that have modeled that. And I think that could be a piece to leave here, too, is if you want to get better at hospitality, watching how someone who's good at it does it is hugely inspiring. It gives you tons of ideas. So thank you for what you've done, too, and for doing the other episode you've done with us and answering this question from Sean. Hopefully he hears this, and hopefully that was helpful. And also, thanks to those of you that are listening. You know, if you're listening here, that means you support Anabaptist Perspectives. You care about what we're doing here, and we really do appreciate that. We love to hear from our audience. So if you have questions or follow-up comments on anything that we've made, let us know. You can find all our content over on our website at anabaptistperspectives.org. Thank you again for listening, and we will catch you in the next episode.